Grabby Betty secret formula. That's going to be the new, just go, the Grabby Betty secret formula. This is now a SpongeBob podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Too bad, film good.
The podcast where we look at poorly rated movies and we ask the question, is this a secret formula?
With me,
the Krabby Patty.
And me,
the secret formula.
Stupid. Now, today we will be looking at a film which may not be, I may not have watched the right one. Again, I'm going two for two.
Okay, so Aiden, full Aiden disclaimer. Full disclaimer. We're not sure yet, but you said you were like you referenced the film that we watched, and you said you called it Daddy Day Care. You said Daddy Daycare, and I said wait. And then we haven't said anything since.
Yes. So, I'm going to assume, because I looked back at your message and realized my mistake, that you watched Daddy Day Camp.
Yes.
On Netflix.
Yes.
And I searched Daddy. As you do.
And then I also looked at the film.
Yeah, and then I went on Netflix and I searched Daddy. And it came up with Daddy Daycare, and I saw Eddie Murphy on the cover, and I was like, yo, this must be it. I love Eddie Murphy. And this is where we are.
Yeah, this is where we are.
So, before we get into any cares or camps, Aiden, why don't you tell us, what is Daddy Day Shrekking this week?
Oh, brilliant.
Thank you.
So what is Daddy Day Shrekking is... right. Oh, a little while back, I don't know if you remember this. We read an article, and it was about a woman that was absolutely shook because she had ordered a green curry or something from her local Indian takeaway, and when she poured it on the plate, it poured out to resemble the Vegas Shrek you've ever seen in your life.
right.
And I think it was like The Sun or something. They wrote an entire article about it interviewed the couple.
Yeah. Now Shrek has poured a soup that looks like that woman.
yeah, exactly.
Now that is interesting.
now this is an interesting thing because it's come from Metro. And the article's titled, "Woman Spotted Face of Shrek in Her Ice Cream and Couldn't Stop Laughing." Now, here's a spoiler for the article. The first thing you see on the article is the picture of the Shrek in the ice cream. And let me tell you, it just looks like a pile of ice cream with three holes in it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, almost 22 years have passed since Shrek first premiered in theatres, and the internet is still obsessed. Of course they are, because it slaps. It doesn't say that, I added that.
No, I could tell.
I could tell
quality from this trash article. Yeah.
There are pop culture references, parody concepts, and a Broadway musical, and ogre-themed erotica. Hell yeah, that'll be next week's article. Yeah. Just look at porn.
Wait, what? Did they put that in?
They put that in.
Why? What? Why? Why? Is it the Shrekers love thing, maybe?
No, I don't know. No, they're like, you know, I mean, everyone's had a phase where they've gone on and typed Shrek Rule 34 on their private browser, haven't they? Because I sure know I have. And let me tell you,
unless you guys haven't, in which case neither have I.
I was joking.
Yeah, I was joking. Unless,
Les. February even saw the first ever Shrek rave take place under the railway arches of Vauxhall train station in London, as we know, as we discussed.
Yeah. Did you see I sent you the... My friend at work sat next to me, got a story, if I can come up on his Instagram feed, that was a Shrek rave. It was like... It was like an ad for Shrek rave.
No way.
He sent it to me. I sent it to you.
Did you send it to me today? Because I haven't looked.
It would have been. It might have been today. I'm sure I sent it to you. Did I send it to you on Instagram? Did I not forward it on to you? I must have done it.
If you didn't forward it on to me, I'll check now.
No, I did. Yeah, it's my most recent thing I sent you on Instagram.
I was going to say, if you didn't forward, we'll do a live check, and if it hasn't been forwarded to me, the podcast is cancelled.
I just live checked. We're safe.
You're lucky. You got to wave at this.
I made sure I knew before I wagered.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, I did. I must have mentioned that on the podcast that my friend had gone to one. She said it was mental. Oh my god! Sorry, I haven't read this article yet, and I scrolled down, and you'll realize why I just said that.
They've put the Rule 34 porn in there.
Yeah, they have. It's just
the way. See, guys, it's perfectly normal. It's nothing to be ashamed about. My ex-wife has no reason to have left me.
It is an inexplicable trend, and the character from the animated films seems to be everywhere, including our food. Maxine Chan, fucking name dropped, could not believe her eyes when she opened a Tupperware box with ice cream she had left in the freezer. There it was, a blob of ice cream that bared an uncanny that's very debatable an uncanny resemblance to the ogre.
In fact, they say blob as well. Like, they paint it as being just like, it's just a blob of ice cream, guys.
I'll send it to you, the picture.
Right. We're going to get a live reaction as you talk.
Live reaction, yeah. There it was, the blob of ice cream that bears an uncanny resemblance to the ogre. Do you see what I mean? It's literally a green ice cream with three holes in it.
Just like open up a browser right now, just search Shrek ice cream and you can probably find it. I'm gonna do it now and see if I can find it on Google Images. Yeah, it's the first thing in the mirror. Pistachio ice cream. What it looks like is that somebody had like their child make a Shrek kind of face mask for a costume, and then they left it out in the sun and it melted.
Yeah.
And then they put it in a box. And it's become like a demonic thing.
The smooth sludge managed to form in the plastic box with the appearance of eyes, nose holes, and a mouth open. It also looked as though Shrek had its characteristic tube-like ears. Where the fuck are its ears?
Are the ears, man? Yeah. What, they're that little, like...
They're just making
flap
shit up.
That hangs off the side? Yeah, they're just... And also, look at this. Look at this ice cream. 100%, those nose holes were poked in.
You can see the
fucking trajectory of where they poked those fucking nose holes in. Don't tell me that she didn't make this shit up and send it into the mirror.
The fucking...
Bullshit. Right. Hey, I got a story for you.
No, this is why I said fucking wow. Because it references the fucking Shrek curry that I was just talking about. This is last October. Lisa Edmonds was stunned to see Shrek in her curry. And then shows a picture. Maxine uploaded a picture to Facebook to show off the character lookalike, and many people seemed to agree with her. She said, "He looks so familiar." User Lisa Trotter replied, "Looks like someone put Shrek in the microwave and hit high." Meanwhile, David Sadwoski, that was right, joked, "He is saying, get out of my swamp." This is the most fucking Facebook
post. Damn it.
Fucking bullshit. Like,
I mean, look, they know their target demographic, right? But then at the same time, really...
Who
is their demographic? Because it's Shrek, right?
Yeah.
and we know from experience that that old people in the theaters don't want to go and see Shrek.
Yeah, as I
as
discovered.
You've described in detail. Yeah,
yeah, as I discovered, and like we all know what middle-aged women and men are like on Facebook. They'll post this, and it will be like.
But they're like looking at their phone down the end of their glasses with one hand holding the phone up.
Yeah, as far hand, away like, from their
as
face
as far away
as
from
possible.
Their face as possible.
It's like he's saying get out of my swamp.
Jesus.
Yeah, Claire Doyle said if she there we go. Metro.co.uk reported in October last year that a woman spotted it in her Harry Lee green curry that she had bought from her favourite curry house in Enfield. Strangely... Oh, wait, yeah, I skipped that bit. Yeah, and that's the article. That's literally the article. There you go. They've posted Jesus. A picture of some ice cream that's green... With some holes in it and gone.
That has,
God,
that has
like
had somebody poke some holes in it.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this green ice cream, that could look like Shrek, couldn't it? That'd be funny. How do you put an ice cream in a tub and it end up like that? No way. Come
There's
on.
No way. Absolutely no way.
And then trying to make a quick buck because no way they're paying you for that.
Yeah, because they're fucking like, they found this on Facebook and they're like, I mean, it's a picture and it kind of looks like Shrek. How do I flesh this article out? Here's four comments on the post from random people, which I will name drop.
Yeah.
Just fucking...
Stupid ass.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what's Shrekin' this week. Part two of the Shrek's in my food help
segment. Yeah, the Shrek food phenomenon, I guess. But Shrekking and food Shrek messiahs aside... Aiden, this week we've looked at two films because we are just so dedicated.
Okay, well, and so we just we're at a crossroads right now, right?
Right.
So what's happened was,
yeah,
I've told you to watch Daddy Day Camp,
right?
Then you've watched,
yeah,
Daddy Day Care.
Yes.
I've watched Daddy Day Camp, but right. because Daddy Day Care. Was a yeah. film that I watched as a child
yeah.
and loved.
Yeah.
I finished Daddy Day Camp and I was like, that fucking sucked. I'm gonna watch Daddy Daycare.
Yes. Oh
so
my god, yes.
I'm probably about like half an hour into Daddy Day Care.
Oh, so you haven't finished it all the way through?
I haven't finished it, but it's a film that I've seen before and I
yeah.
have fond memories of. So, yeah. we can do one of two things. We
yeah.
can talk about the much... I mean, it's still not, like, greatly rated, but the much better rated Daddy Daycare starring Eddie mm-hmm. Murphy, Steve Zahn, mm-hmm. and Jeff mm-hmm. Garlin.
Right.
Or you yeah. can talk about the good film... And I yeah. can talk about the pile of shit, which is Daddy Day Camp.
I'm gonna stop you right there. Fuck Daddy Day Camp. I don't want to hear another word about whatever it is. Because I haven't seen it. I don't care about it. All right.
I was going to say, are you sure about this decision? Because I might make you watch it for next week. If we're doing daycare, I'm gonna make you watch Day Camp. And
Why?
I've made my notes.
No.
So I don't have to watch it. You have to watch it. I'm done. I'm finished. I can record tomorrow.
But
it's
what if
balls in your court, baby?
What if I hear this? Hear about this. What if I don't want to?
Ah, touche.
What if we just start? Yeah, what if we just start the episode next week and I'm like, didn't watch it? I watched Daddy Daycare too.
Next week I'll do Daddy Day Camp and you watch Daddy Day Care 2. Go on, Google it.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to make me sad though, because I feel like it's going to butcher the series. All right, before we get into
I'll spoil it for you. Daddy Day Care 2 is better known as Daddy Day Camp, bitch.
It's literally the second film.
Yeah, it's a sequel.
Oh, wow!
And then it's a trilogy, because that Daddy Daycare was in 2003. They followed it up with Daddy Daycamp. I might just throw in a bit of Daddy Daycamp. There's not.
Oh, I mean, if you want to sprinkle some camp in there, that's actually.
I always do every episode.
Hey.
And then in 2019, they were like, this series ain't dead. We're doing Granddaddy Daycare.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
No wonder there's... Because I was looking for some review... Because I realized, you know, you'd done Daddy Day Camp. And I started looking at some reviews for Daddy Daycare. And I was like, why are people reviewing it in 2018, 2019? But that's because...
Granddaddy
Day Camp, I guess. Yeah. So...
Well, okay, look, why don't you, I'll give us a few facts about Daddy Daycare, and then, tell us what Netflix says about Daddy Daycare.
Yes, I made some notes on my phone today, so time to bust out the old mobile. So, as you pointed out, Daddy Daycare, as well as Daddy Day Camp, which is where the confusion came from, are both on Netflix. And Netflix describes Daddy Day Camp as, after losing his job, a stay-at-home dad jumps at the chance to start a daycare center, inviting new kids and all kinds of shenanigans into his home. I like the use of shenanigans. Going to put that out there.
Yeah, shenanigans is a good word.
It's just a good word.
Agree. Right, and I didn't write it down because that's usually your job. Basically, Daddy Day Camp is 4 years later. They recast everyone in the film, and then for some reason they're like, "Oh, we'll do a summer camp as well."
Wait, so it's not like a spiritual successor where they just have the same idea in a different situation. They actually recast them.
Yeah. And what makes it worse is, so just quick, Daddy Daycare stars Eddie Murphy, Kamani Griffin, Steve Zahn, Ellie Fanning, Jeff Garlin, Angelica Houston, Lacey Chabert, and other people. Steve Buscemi. Directed by Steve Carr, and it's got 5.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 27% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 39 Metacritic's liked it.
Yeah.
It made, like, over 150 million. I don't know what the budget was, I can't be bothered.
I think I saw 60.
Pretty good. Now, Daddy Day Camp... it had a budget. It stars Kubo Gooding Jr., who they cast as Eddie Murphy's replacement.
Come on. If you're in any situation, if it's like, oh, you're Eddie Murphy's replacement, how in what situation do you ever see that being like, oh, this is gonna be like good?
yeah. Lachlan Monroe, who's like the evil guy. Richard Gant, who, I'm pretty sure I'm not getting this wrong, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Richard Gant is the guy that they've used to replace Jeff Garland. And it's like, oh, we'll just get another fat guy that kind of looks like Jeff Garland. It doesn't matter. No one will know.
Yeah.
Also,
Richard Gant, not Richard E. Grant, I thought you were talking about. I was like,
oh no, sorry, that man is not sorry, fat. Sorry, I fucked that. Richard Gant is not Richard Gant is nothing like Jeff Garland.
He's
sounds like an old black guy.
I know. I was like, what are you talking about?
Let me get it up. Let me get the pictures up. Who's the fucking guy they've used to... Oh, Paul Ray. Paul Ray's like... I mean, he looks pretty good in this photo, but yeah, he's like the fat guy replacement, essentially.
Right, I see. I can't find... How do you... What, Paul Ray? Like R-A-Y?
R-A-E.
Oh, right, because these were all just stock images of random-ass people. Oh, this guy. Okay, cool, yeah. Cool.
Tamala Jones and Brian Doyle Murray. So this had a budget of $6 million and made $18 million. And I was like, oh, it must have just been a DVD thing. No, they really released it in cinemas and no one gave a shit. And then they were like, we'll just put it out on DVD then. Which is amazing. It's got 3.2 out of 10 on IMDb, 1% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 13 Metacritic liked it.
Wow.
This, and to quote, this is... commonly regarded as one of the worst sequels ever made.
That's insane.
Yeah. But tell us about Daddy Daycare.
Dude, Daddy Daycare. Are we getting straight into the shit or do you
straight into it. Wait, before actually one thing. had you seen this before?
Dude, this is one of those films where as I started to watch it, I was like, do I recognize this? And then they say something and I'm like, I know that. Don't I know that? Isn't that like a line that I remember? Like, you know, when you're younger and you've watched films, you've watched like one or many like specific films so many times that just the like the tone and the way and the structure of like how people say certain sentences, they just trigger something in your little monkey brain and you're just like, I remember them saying those lines in that exact way, and it hooked something from when you were younger. So there was so many moments in this where I was like, I know this. And then there was just a point where I was like, I 100% watched this film multiple times when I was younger.
Yeah, multiple.
And loved it.
Yeah. This film fucking slaps. It's so good.
It's
I'm a bit shook about the... because when you were like, oh, fuck, I've watched Daddy Daycare, I was like, oh, man, like, it's just going to be a good rated film. I was expecting, like, sevens on the board, you know.
Well, I was wondering.
5.2 out of 10 on IMDb? Fuck
Dude, Rotten Tomatoes, 27% on the tomato meter, 48% audience score. Sorry, because I looked this up, because I was like, man, we're watching this for the thing, like, is this poorly rated? And I wonder whether it got a lot of hate, or a lot more hate, and it, like, went further down because of the sequels? Because there are a lot of, like, more recent stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
But, however, I did scroll down. There is one review, July 6th, 2004. It says, my advice is to beat your children rather than take them to daddy daycare.
What? this guy's just outed himself.
This is a critic review.
What?
It's not an audience one. I mean, I don't know what qualifications you have to be a critic.
He's not a critic anymore. He's in jail.
Yeah. I mean, even the audience reviews, there's one that's just like an image link for some reason, and then it says, out of all the depressing, lowbrow, dark, idiotic, repugnant family movies Eddie Murphy has created and then cursed cinema with, this is just another one of them. It's a stupid, trashy, however passable flick. I'm sure I saw a glimmer of heart once or twice. Do people watch the wrong one? Do they think that they are reviewing Danny Day Camp? They must do. No, but because people mention Eddie Murphy, so they definitely watch this film.
What the fuck? Film's good. It's good. So, like, genuinely, it's genuinely good. And not
it's
just, like...
more than just good.
There's obviously, like, nostalgia sprinkled in,
yeah,
sure. But I think, like, objectively, this film is... spoilers. This film is bad film good because it's so, like, it's genuinely funny now. Like, and yeah, look, it was made in 2003. Some of the jokes, even in the half an hour that I watched, I'm like, you're like, ooh, toeing the line a bit. But
I don't think it was, I can't think of a specific point where
there's a bit that was like, it's like right at the start, they've started the daycare, and then you get like mums coming up and they're like, are you kidding me? Two men running a daycare?
No, I said, I like that.
Yeah, but they make a gay joke or something. And I was like,
do they? Oh, I don't remember them making one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure because I was like,
ooh. I thought the whole thing was that they were just like, because I was expecting them to make a gay joke, because there was the woman who was like, you guys are sick or whatever. But I thought the point was that it was, they're like, you know, we're two men who are running this thing. And they're like, oh, why would men want to run it? Like, you clearly are pervs kind of thing. That's the vibe I was getting from it. I didn't think that they thought that it was because they were gay. I thought that they were going to make a joke because obviously it's from like early 2000s. I thought there was going to be like a haha gay joke. But there wasn't. I thought that it was just them basically being. Yeah, sure they never explicitly said anything.
Maybe I just did what in my head.
You bloody gay man. Not in my TV.
That's right. I'm a middle-aged white bald man from 2005.
This is probably the guy that fucking beat his kids in that comment down
there. Yeah, that I did a review.
Yeah.
Men are men!
He just punched the air. Like.
Stupid.
Honestly, but no, this film is one of those, like, films from that kind of era of, I mean, I'm looking at, like, the You Might Also Like section.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, Cheaper by the Dozen. Oh, what a film.
Oh, man.
Cheaper by the Dozen 2? I don't remember what the second one had in it. I remember the first one. But the 2 has 6%. And it's like 57% audience one. It's got like Chicken Little. How is Chicken Little rated poorly?
Oh, mate.
Chicken Little RV. Did you ever watch RV with Robin Williams?
Yes. Yeah, I did. Fucking I like that.
Banger of, well, I mean, I don't really remember it now. But I remember obviously liking it when I was a kid. I mean, who knows? But just, I don't know, just...
Even Cheaper by like the that, Dozen is 5.9 out of 10, 24% on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's a cult classic.
It is, because it's... I love those films. And I get, you know, there's probably... You know, society kind of, it moves through like phases of films and what films that they put out there because they think people want, and then people get tired of it because they put too many of them out and then they move on to something else and blah, 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 blah.
They're very formulaic as well.
Yeah. But I love this specific like kind of niche of film. I don't know if niche is the right word, but like niche of film where it was like the sweet spot. Where it was so genuine, and they had these messages. It was just that time of like all the films had this message about how important family is, and I know it's like a general like a theme that's in loads of stuff, but it's that whole deal of like, you know, listen to your kids and like actually kind of care about them and like, you know, don't just fob them off and all this kind of shit. Like,
but also it
reminds me of Megan when we watched Megan and Mathregan, you know, and it had those underneath everything. There was that theme of like, don't just leave your kids with a fucking machine and drop them off and just expect that to parent for you.
Okay.
You should shut up. That was the theme. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean though. I don't like even, what was I going to say? Like, yeah, it's just this sweet spot of, it's like the kids films, but then it's more than that. Even, grown-ups, which people rag on and don't like, And it's not quite the same because it's doing that thing that the new version of these films do, which is like it has the same message, but you're like it's just wearing its heart on its sleeve sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like it's like there'll be no message, but then at the end a character will go, "This whole experience has taught me to love my children." And then they'll go, let's hug, and then the film will end.
Yeah, and, it doesn't have the like the this kind of genuine charm and like core to it.
Yeah, but and Grown Ups is a bit like that, but I think the humor and like the heart of the it's a bit like harmless fun slapstick comedy. Yeah.
Can hear that fucking engine, by the way, going past. There is an absolute knobhead who just drives up and down the road now and then in his shitty little car going, because it's he literally has nothing to do.
It's me.
It's you. God, I tell you what, you're getting some good audio while you're in that car.
Yeah, it's soundproofed on the inside. That reminds me of a tangent. When we were in uni and I used to live like the road over from you, opposite our house, I don't know if you, maybe you saw him, I don't know. There was a yellow Porsche from the house opposite, and it was like a drug dealer that fucking used to like just sit on the drive at 3 a.m. just like revving it every now and then. Just like, it's just like, and then Jesus, some like, man.
Go to bed.
Yeah, go to bed, mate. Go to You've fucking got drugs bed, to man. Sell in the morning.
Yeah, you gotta be up early, sell them drugs.
Yeah, and then you get like, and then the car would turn off, he wouldn't go anywhere, and then like some poor man with no teeth and didn't know where he was, like, stumbled towards him in the car, and then they'd, like, exchange money for a small packet of whatever it was.
And then hey, man, well, you know, at least
he'd turn his car on again, and he'd be like,
God's sake. That's got to be the most, like, I got drugs.
Yeah,
if you're a policeman,
it's like the ice cream siren.
Except as we all know, when the ice cream music plays, it means that there's no ice cream left. So,
yeah, I mean that's what I was told.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had ice cream.
Sell out fast.
What are we talking about? Oh yeah, Daddy Daycare. Good film. Great film.
It's honestly, I mean, it's just everything about this film. Like, I think it's, you know, they've got this kind of, this great mix of, obviously there's stuff that the kids will enjoy, and I think kids kind of, they like to see other kids on the screen because they relate to them, and like them having fun and doing silly things and whatever, right?
Mm.
Because they're kids, they relate to that. Sorry, I just had to get that out. you can cut that if you want.
No, I won't. I absolutely will not cut that out.
For fuck's sake, right? I was making a heartfelt piece that I was about to begin. Yeah. But I just couldn't. It was just there, and I knew it would just escape at some point.
Can't believe you had the cheek to ask me to cut that out. No way. No bloody way.
It was just a pause, and I was like, yeah, well, we could get rid of that. All right, anyway, back to my serious point. His kid in this, he is just the sweetest little
he's like adorable.
Angel, you just want to grab his little cheeks and just he's just so great, and he's like, he's funny, but there's so many God, there's a line that he says that I remember being a thing that we would say now and then at home, just like, you know, we'd like reference it.
Yeah.
Where he was like, you're killing me. You're really killing me. He was so adorable. He was so great in every scene.
I looked it up while I was watching. It was that bit.
Yeah. You know, he's like, you broke my yo-yo. Yeah, he's like, yeah. I didn't broke your yo-yo. You're killing me. You're really killing me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, because it's like, at first off, you're like, and not just in this bit, but with mainly, because I didn't see Steve Zahn, I didn't see him come in yet to the daycare. So it was just Eddie Murphy and Jeff Garlin, who I love, by the way. I absolutely love Jeff Garlin.
I heard, well, when we were watching it, Bryce was like, apparently that guy's an asshole.
I don't know. He's in Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he plays like a massive cunt. But I just fucking love him.
I heard that. Wait. So what was it? Oh, no. Apparently he has bipolar disorder, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know, because he was fired from the Goldbergs, and he was accused of like behaving in a demeaning or unprofessional manner. Blah, 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 blah. So yeah, I don't know exactly. Maybe it's because maybe he has like bipolar, and that's why it was going on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, generally we let people with bipolar disorder off, and they can just generally do whatever they want and say whatever they want, especially about Nazis. Anyway, let's carry on.
What?
Just Kanye West did it.
Oh, because he... Oh, okay, right, sorry.
He has bipolar disorder, but he's got more than bipolar disorder. He's fucking wilded.
He's got his own kind of Kanye-specific... centered disorder, I think.
Yeah, that guy's fucked.
I cannot. Okay, another quick, super quick tangent. I
can cut these tangents out.
No. We keep them in. I cannot believe that fucking clothing line. If that clothing line's actually coming out, have you seen it?
I haven't. Let me look at it quick.
Oh my Christ! I don't understand how it's not illegal. I honestly don't understand how it's not illegal. It's literally a swastika.
Oh my god, yeah. What the fuck? That's fucking mental.
And that's his fucking... that's his campaign for presidency?
Yeah.
Bro. Wait, that one in the right? Surely not. That one in the right is literally just a swastika.
I know. It's fucking insane. But, I'll... Jeff Garlin, I just love. And I haven't looked up any of his misconduct allegations. And it's the same thing whenever I'm not going to look up Eddie Murphy. I don't want to. I'm happy with the knowledge that I love Eddie Murphy. And and as soon as I Google him, my opinion of him will drop drastically.
Sorry, I'll do it for you. I'll let you know if it's clear.
but yeah, like, so him and Jeff Garlin, when it's like their reaction, not reactions, their like interactions with all these kids, because they're all so young. I feel like it would be so hard to get them to like react in any other way than just genuine. So when the kid was like, you're killing me. You're really killing me. And Eddie Murphy's just like laughing. I was like, A, was that even scripted? And B, and then I was like, their rapport is so good. I wonder, is that like his son or something? Because it's he's just an actor.
Yeah, but there's just a couple moments, right? Where you're just like, man, I genuinely feel like they are father and son.
Yeah. It's so cute. It's so wholesome.
Yeah.
I'm for it. Eddie Murphy and whatever the kid's name was, I can't remember.
As father and son, just put that on.
Kamani Griffin.
But yeah, I just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as father and son, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing to say. But, like, I just remember, like, all the kids have, like, a funny thing. Like, there's this one kid that he has, like, attachment. The mum comes in, she's like, he's got, like, mad attachment issues. I literally have to pry him off of me.
Yeah.
And he's, like, screaming. Just going, wah! Screaming. And then bloody...
Jeff Garlin.
Jeff. Oh, what's his name in this? It's like...
Oh,
probably Bob or something, I don't know.
Phil.
Phil, that's it. Close. He just take. He's like, hey, you want a dollar? And immediately the kid goes, ooh, yeah. And then he gives him a dollar and he's like, nice. Then he runs off.
It was like, he's like crying. He was like, And then Jeff's like, not Jeff, fucking Phil was like, you want a dollar? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because then the kid's like, yeah, yeah.
And then there's a point like at the end when he's like, oh, all I got's a five. And the kid takes it and he goes, I could break that. And there's just like, there's just little funny things like that where it's just good for parents and stuff watching it. It's good for adults watching it and it's good for kids. And it's just, I just think it's this, just this like lovely message that's just all about, you know, you've seen it a million times, but I just think it's just one that when it's done in like a good, genuine way, will just never get old. And it's just about like, it's just about kind of the, I mean, they literally say it, it's like the core values, right? And it's about the core value of your family. And obviously I know that's not, it doesn't necessarily work for everyone and whatever, but
yeah,
when, you know, in these kind of films where it's just talking about, it's not about, you know, just getting lots of money and everything. And if you want to go get that bank, you know, you go get that bank, but like, it's just
it's about the children.
It's about the children, you know, because they have that scene where they're saying to him about like they're doing the presentation. And they literally say to him, like, obviously, it's, you know, it's on the nose and it's got to be, you know, for kids and things, yeah, and whatever. But where he's just like, Eddie Murphy's going through his folder and he finds the picture that his son drew, which, by the way, a heart-touching moment when he drew him the picture and everything. But he's just, you know, he finds it and he's like, come on, like, because he asked him for the core value of this product. Like, oh, this is the, and again, it's value in a different kind of sense. It's like the value that can get the money, the real money maker in it. And he's like, what's the core value? And then he's just like, my kid.
Yeah.
And I'm going to quit this job for my kid. Fuck you. And then he leaves. Interesting thing, by the way, because I just saw this recently. I was just watching Moist Critical talk about it, where there's this whole thing at the moment in America where to do with like cereal. I don't know if you've seen anything to do with this, because no. Basically it's like the FDA, I think, are in like some sort of legal battle with big fucking corporate cereal companies. To do with like the FDA basically turned around and said, you can't just put healthy, the word healthy, on all of these fucking cereals that don't meet these standards.
What? Is that really?
Because it's America, man. Because they're just like, this fucking cereal will cure cancer. You know what I mean? And then, you know, because they could just do what they want because yeah, they're massive corporations. They pay people off and shit. And yeah, the FDA basically turned around and said, you can't just put healthy in front of these cereals because they need to meet all of these standards. They need to do whatever. And then the argument has come back and said, if that happens, then 95% of all of these like companies won't be able to put that on the cereals. Cause I mean, there's apparently studies into kind of, you know, those sort of cereals being one of the, like a really big contributor to obesity in America.
Yeah, because it's of the sugar.
They're basically, basically just eating sweets. Yeah. You know, the sugar, like, I mean, sugar is just fucking so high over there.
I mean, I'm sure you've had,
I mean, you
get, like, you go to the American aisle in Tesco's or whatever, and then you get, like, Lucky Charms.
I never really.
I've done that. America and stuff, and you have like
flex.
And you have like Fruit Loops and Lucky Charms, and it's, hey, don't get me wrong, they're really fucking good, but they're not cereal. They're like a ridiculous. You're like, I'm eating 5,000 calories in this bowl.
Yeah,
I feel fucking awful. Let's fucking go. You're giving back to a 7-year-old. At the start of the day. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Wild.
Exactly. Right? And apparently it's a huge thing, which is really interesting because in this, I mean, he's working for, I guess, a big cereal corporation that or like they pitch ideas to they're like an ideas thing for cereals or something. I'm not sure. But when we start off, he's been given what's kind of seen to be like the shitty job. Like, he's been put onto the shitty kind of cereal idea called Veggie-O's. That's vegetable. Like, again, it's like, you're just shooting yourself in the foot with that. Yeah. Obviously, that's kind of the point, but it's just so silly. So it's like, oh, look, kids, these are healthy cereal that has vegetables. Maybe whoever wrote this already knew what was good, like, you know, saw all this stuff with cereals and was like, this isn't what the film's about, but I'm just going to sneak some digs in here about how awful this is. Because you then have, he makes some like passing comment at one point to one of the guys. I think when he's, it's basically just after they've been told that they're losing their jobs because they're the whole healthy foods division, literally like the fucking cereal company are like, yeah, there's just not really any money in like healthy cereals. So we're going to cut like 300 people, the whole department of, cause he originally thinks that it's just the small team of them working on Veggio's. And he's like, oh no, like the whole health department for cereal, they're all going. And he makes some like, offhand thing where he was like, yeah, it's difficult to sell Veggio's. Like, it's not an achievement for you to have just made your big score with like Chucky chocolate bites or whatever and candy floss, whatever. And then he was like, huh, candy floss, that's a good idea, I'll write that down. And then later on, when you get that sort of bit in the narrative structure where it's like, oh, he's got to make the decision now, he's got to nearly at the end of the film and he's had this, you know, everything's kind of thrown on its head one last time. And they're like, we're going to pay you goddamn double the amount. And you can come and work for us again because it was your idea with the candy floss sweets, indirectly. Well, that's what they said to him because, like, when he was talking to them, the guys, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to go for it. They told me it was my idea. They doubled my paycheck, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see the cereal box. And my God, it literally, it's like these, they're all pink, right? Because they're all candy floss, like, cereal.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have like big bowls of it that people are just like picking from because obviously they're sweets. And he's just like, it fucking awful. They say about how the parent, they're like, yeah, no parent's going to buy this, 100%. But when the kids scream and like fucking shout and, yeah, I think he said bang their heads till they bleed or something. He was like, then the parents will buy it. And I was like, man, I feel like this is too real.
Yeah, this 100%. Isn't a film. This is a documentary.
Yeah, but like, because it, you know, it's crazy. I saw that and I was like, wow, it's so wild that we're watching that now. Just after I saw the whole thing to do with the cereal and stuff in America. Because I don't really know. I know that like the sugar kind of saturation up there and all of that stuff. I know that it's just like crazy high, like bread is like cake there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I didn't really think much about that with cereals. I just thought it was like an interesting thing. It's just, I mean, the film in itself is just banging. Like, it's just banging. It's just this wonderful. So there's multiple reasons why it's good. One, it sort of goes against the, you know, the gender norms in like a genuine kind of way. It doesn't have it as like a shtick of being, which it kind of looks like it's almost, it kind of like, you know, daddy daycare. And I'm looking at the cover now where all the kids are like, he's on the floor and he's having his tie pulled and all the kids are climbing on him. And he's like, oh, like, God, it's a run, bloody run for his money. But like, I just like the fact that they deal with it, like they cope with it, and it goes against this idea about like, oh, the dads, you know, it's the mums will look after the kids. The dads don't really know their kids much. Like, dad's doing a daycare. What are you talking about? That's, you know, they're going to be rubbish at bringing up kids. They have no idea what they're doing. And I'm like, actually, yeah, when they start, and obviously they've looked after their own kids. There's loads of kids and they're like, oh shit, we weren't expecting this. And all you just see them adapt every time. Adapt. They put the work in, they put the effort in. You know, they genuinely enjoy what they're doing and they genuinely enjoy looking out to the kids. And it's really nice to see like because it was made in the 2000s, obviously there was a lot more kind of, and I mean, don't get me wrong, obviously, it's good that there are a lot more precautions in place and things are a lot more careful and whatever. But I just feel like you won't see, like, even just, you know, actors and whatever and, like, storylines where they're just so comfortable and normal around the kids without there being a sense of, like, you know, him just being, like, you know, a kid wants to, like, instead of, like, picking a kid, because there's a bit where, like, one of them goes to put the kid down, because they're all going for their nap, and he's, like, carrying the kid into the room to put him down. And it was weird, because I kind of, not that it felt unnatural to me, but I was like, man, I just feel like I haven't seen that in a long time, because people would just be like, you can't touch my kid. You know what I mean? It's one of those weird things where I'm like, it's good, but it's also really nice to just see it in a setting that is completely kind of...
It does go too far, definitely. Like, my mom works in a school, and the safeguarding and stuff they have to do and whatever
is,
like, ridiculous. Like, it's stuff like... like you're saying, of course, there's circumstances and it's in place for a reason, but it goes too far where it's like it'll be like a kid's running out of the playground onto a busy road and you can't physically stop them because you're not allowed to grab them, like,
yeah,
and that's just stupid, like,
yeah,
and that's a thing, that's a real a thing, because that's without going into too much detail, obviously, but that happened at the school, and there was a whole big thing about it. And it's like, are you fucking joking? Like, it's gone so far that it's better to let a child run into a main road than it is to just, like, stop them, just, like, grab them quickly and be like, don't run into the fucking road. Just like,
It is, and I don't know. It's weird because I almost want to say that it feels like a kind of...
PC bloody gone mad!
Yeah, it's PC bloody gone mad, mate. No, because it feels like a kind of a simpler time or whatever. But it was a time where, you know, fucking kids are getting molested in Hollywood and all this kind of stuff. People are, you know, pedos running rampant.
It's there for a reason,
of course. Like... You know, it is really important. But I think in this film, because everything is so genuine, because they just care, there's never any, like, it's not like fucking other films, like what the millionaire kid guy one, where he's like two steps away from fucking that FBI woman when he's 10 years old. Like,
or a bit in the sequel to this film.
No, but that's the thing, because, like, why do you have to, you don't need, like, why can't it just be, and again, it'll be, you know, it's the fucking writers, it's the people putting it together, it's the people behind it, like, you know, it's just, I just love that this film is so, I keep using this word, but it is, it's wholesome, it's genuine, it's just, it's these two dads who are just like, I just want to look after these kids, and it is necessary, but it is sad that if you think about, if somebody was like, oh, it's a daycare and these two men are looking after it, in today's age, that, you know, there is like an initial knee-jerk thing of being like, oh, that's a bit weird, two guys, you know what I mean, like, it's there is that kind of thing of just being like, well, okay, but are they pedos, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, but then
it just,
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
so
other,
I just love that,
I guess,
it is
the
genuine.
The opposite argument to that would be like, you should have that reaction to, like, anyone that's starting up a daycare, because the point is that there should be, like, strenuous checks.
For
anyone to be like,
yeah,
oh, they've set up a daycare, I can trust them, because I mean, they will have been checked, like, thoroughly. And make sure that they are not just not pedophiles, but just genuinely good around children.
But I mean, it is just, it's just, yeah. It's just nice to, because it is.
It was
it
just
is weird.
A good wholesome time. I mean, what I really liked in the bits that I saw is, again, it's just the bits where they're interacting with the children, and it's just, I feel like it must be, it would be so hard to get like a 6-year old to do what you want them to. So it's just like, it's the bit where it's like they're all going fucking wild, and then and they don't know what to do, and then Jeff Garlin, whatever his character's name is, he's like, Phil. I'll be right back. And then he goes to grab his guitar, and then they're just all having like a big sing song and like a big dance where he's singing like all these popular songs and stuff. Yeah, and I was just like, this just seems like he's having fun because all of the kids are just like, they're not acting. They're just genuinely having a good time.
Yeah.
Like, it was, I don't know. It just seems so fun.
And I don't want to flex on you, Aiden, but I myself was a child actor. And I was in a BBC production where I just had fun. And it looked good on screen for the 2 seconds that you saw me running around in a field.
For real?
Yeah, did I not tell you about this?
No.
I thought you were going to like start laughing because you know what it's from. Dude, it's from... it was a BBC production where it was like a series. And there was... I was in one episode... because it's called the Seven Wonders of the Industrial World, and it's like a bunch of different things. And I was in the episode The Sewer King, which was about the guy that that created like the design and created the sewer system or something. And I played one of his sons, because there's a bit where he's like talking about the children or whatever, something, and he's looking out the window, and it's me, my friend, and his brother running around in the field like with a hoop. And of course it's all Victorian fucking era, so we're all wearing Victorian clothes, and it's just us like running around, and that's pretty much it. But it was Paul McGann as well that played my fictional father. So I was like, yo, I am wait, is it Paul McGann or Mark McGann? It's Mark McGann because Paul McGann's the doctor. So I was like, I'm the doctor's nephew for ages. But I didn't. It's not like I broadcasted it, but I was it's a funny thing. But no, I was a right diva because I thought I told you this already. My like 6-year-old self. obviously we had to wear Victorian gear, so when we were getting in for the like fitting and everything, I remember that they wanted to put like tights on me, basically.
Yeah.
And I was having none of it. Like I was like full diva, crying, like refusing to put these tights on. Obviously frustrating all the fucking like costume guys who were just like, fucking put these on, you little shit. And I was like, I don't want to wear girls' clothes. so funny. So what they had to do, my friend's brother who was there with us in the scene, he was quite a bit taller than us, and he had like these like black Nike socks. So they put these socks on me that they could pull all the way up because they were really long. And then they just put little black tape over the Nike logo so that black socks.
And
I was like, I'll wear socks because that's not tights. Tights are a girl's thing. I don't know why. Cause I was 6 years old. I was just like, oh, people will laugh at me if I wear tights. You know what
Man.
I mean?
If you were, you could be, I could be talking to someone else right now and you could be off. I could be talking to Tom Holland and you could be playing Spider-Man.
Could you?
If you'd have just put on those tights, not been such a little shit.
Not being blacklisted from the industry.
Yeah.
Dude, no. Couldn't have happened. You see how fucking ripped that guy is? There's no way I'm getting that ripped.
Hey, you were shredded at one point. You were absolutely shredded.
Oh, yeah, I remember that time. when I was 6.
Yeah.
Couldn't really fit the tights on me, that's why I was too ripped.
Do you have that? Do you have the DVD?
My mum has it. It's on YouTube.
Oh, it's on YouTube? Oh, my God.
I'll show it to you. You can find it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at it right now.
We'll save it for the offline.
I've been looking it up as you've been talking.
No, we'll save it for the offline. Anyway.
Yeah, so that, like, this film, in conclusion, bad film, good. It's really fucking wholesome. It's the complete opposite to the sequel. There's not much to say about it. I'll run through some quick things. I mentioned it up top, but the story is that they've been doing the daddy daycare for 4 years. The guy in the... Oh, what's his fucking name? The guy in the carrot suit that comes and helps.
Marvin?
Yeah, Marvin. Yeah. He's just not in it and never mentioned ever. Oh, but okay. They I guess they couldn't find anyone to be recast, man.
Like, that's just so... just before you say it, I hate when they take... Yeah, you see it so often. They take such a wonderfully created, like, it has a start, middle, end, boom, it's all contained, it's wonderful, it's got a great story, it's genuine, it's a good idea, cool, done. Everyone loves it. And they're like, right, time to milk this baby. Yeah. let's get the same thing and put two on it.
Yeah.
And we'll do something different. And it's like, no, you've just changed what was good about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's good. It's good. I'm all for it. So Marvin's just, I don't know, he's fucking, they fell out, but they just don't speak about him anymore. So Marvin's not there, and then it's 4 years later. So the kid is like recast and he's a bit older. Which kind of sucks because you could have just used the,
you literally could have had the same one. Yeah. But maybe he was like, look, If Eddie's not in it, I'm not in it.
Yeah, well, so I was looking at that kid's IMDb, and that he's in Norbit. He makes an appearance.
Yeah.
So Eddie Murphy was clearly like, I fucking love this kid. He's adorable. And and then also, like, he was on a... I can't remember what the show was. I've closed the tab. He was on a show, like, for, like, basically from Daddy Daycare till... 2007, like,
right,
as a mainstay. So he probably was like, I ain't fucking doing this shit. I'm too old for this now. So yeah, they've recast everyone. Everyone's a bit older, and the daycare is going swimmingly. And then it's summer, so Eddie Murphy 2.0 is like, I'm gonna send my kids to day camp, and I'm gonna send him to the one that I went to as a kid, even though there's a much better, cooler one. Basically, the good, it's like it's the same thing. There's a better daycare, but theirs is cheaper or whatever.
It's the cheaper one that smells like home and has you got logs on the fire and a buddy at your side, and you sing campfire songs, you know,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So they go there and it's like run down and it's being like foreclosed, and they're like, what's going on? And then he's like, yeah, this place is gonna get sold, and the guy next door wants to tarmac it over for a go-kart track or whatever.
Of course. It's always the fall of nature to technology, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then they're like, oh, well, I know. Why don't, instead of sending my child to a well-structured, well-run daycare that all his friends go to and he's really going to enjoy, I'll take a second mortgage on my house and buy this fucking run-down day camp for no reason. God. To prove a point or something? I don't know. Then, so they're running this place. It's not going well. They should just give up. The replacement, Jeff Garland, crashes a bus into the fucking building. And at that point, I was literally like, close it down. Not worth it. Close it down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't run a camp when the building's falling down. What are you doing? But no, they carry on.
Probably asbestos in there.
Yeah. They just do the same thing again, like they're just not very good with children. You know, after 4 years of running a daycare, they're like, oh, it's outside now, so we just have forgotten all our skills.
Right.
And it's not going well. The bank are like, hey, we're going to repossess your house unless you get 30 kids. Which what? Makes sense.
Unless you steal for us 30 children.
No, like, unless you get like 30 kids to sign up to your day camp and prove to us that you can make money off this thing, then we're going to shut it all down or whatever, which comes back again later because it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, he's right. Like, oh, fuck, what are you going to do? I know. I'm going to have to call my military dad, who's really strict and uptight, because he'll know what to do or something. And we also don't have that good of a relationship. So there's that. And so he comes, all the kids are like, this is great. And they have a bit of like a rapport. And then at the end, the rival camp or whatever, they're like, we're going to do the annual camp competition. And if then this is what doesn't make any sense. The bank are like, if you don't win this, I'm closing your camp down. And I'm like, why though? They've got 30 kids now. Like, it doesn't make any difference. But they sign up and then they're like losing. And then they're losing because the granddad, the military dad, like has realized he wasn't a good father or something. And then the kid goes to find him and he's like, but dad, you were a good father. And he's like, let's go win this thing, son. And he comes back and all the children are like, we're suddenly good at the things that we weren't good at. Yay! And then they win. And that's it. It's the most boring, formulaic, generic story you have ever seen. Like, and I'm annoyed at myself because I did laugh once right at the end. Because throughout the film, the piece of shit guy, he keeps turning up and he's like, nice walk you're on. We're on a golf course that we've built and we're going swimming. And then there's like this kid that's always with him who's like, yeah, you guys suck. And he's like, shut up. The mean guy's like, shut up, kid. I'm talking or whatever. And then Eddie Murphy's like, well, not Eddie Murphy is like, that's a real good kid you've brought up there. And he's like, he's not my kid. He's just following me around. And then again, later on, he's like, the other, like, replacement Jeff Garland is like, yeah, well, your kid's an arsehole. And he's like, that's not my kid. And then right at the end, that, like, it's all falling apart. Everyone realizes that this guy's a piece of shit. And they're like, we want to sign up to your worst camp instead. And you get all the money. And everyone's like, yay. And he's like, no, I've lost. And then that kid runs up to him and kicks him in the nuts. And then he goes like, that's for telling everyone that you're not my dad.
Oh, like, my God.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Jesus.
So, yeah, I feel dirty for laughing at the film. Because genuinely, it is fucking terrible. And there's, like, nothing to say about it. Like, there's a few bits that if you'd have watched, maybe more relevant, but generally it's not worth it. Bad film, bad. Very bad. Worst film ever.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I didn't watch it.
Yeah, you bastard. I'm glad which I was like, I want you to watch this. Because you got to watch the good film, and I had to sit
2 weeks running. Shit. 2 weeks running, I got to see the good
SpongeBob. I'm not having it.
Look, it'll balance itself out eventually. I'll get the worst one, and then you'll be like, it's quite pleasant, actually. And I'll be like, I've been through hell.
No, I'm going to do it deliberately. And you're like, this week, you're watching the worst film well, you ever could literally... made, and I get to watch whatever I want.
Yeah, you could do that. You have the power because you tell me what we're watching.
Right. Well, that's kind of everything that we've got, which leads me into next week. We are watching, and you're going to write this down, yeah?
No, I don't believe you.
Yeah. We're watching...
Whatever you say, I don't believe it.
We're watching Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
Oh.
Not the first one, the second one.
I have seen
one,
the first one. I don't remember much about it, but I never saw the second.
Same. I don't really... Yeah. He's a mall cop. I just remember the
bigger
memes
mall,
about...
bigger cop.
Yeah. But, I'm hoping you'll get this one right, because I don't think, like, the first one's on Now TV, but the second one's on Netflix.
Yeah, so I don't think it's possible for me to get this one wrong.
We'll see.
Very iconic. I feel like Daddy Day Camp and Daddy Day Care is, like, an easy mistake to make.
No.
I saw Daddy Day Care on the thing as I pulled it up, and I was like, oh, shit. Maybe I think I might have seen this film. This is great, and I just clicked on it. You know, there's a difference of two letters.
You should have known. You should have been like, Daddy Daycare? Yeah. Nah, it must be something else, because Daddy Daycare's too good. We'll be watching
but that's
the worst
why
I, version.
But I mean, to be fair, to begin with, I was like, oh, cool, it's an Eddie Murphy film. I didn't remember what it was. And then as I was watching it, I was like, I know this, don't I? And then that's when I looked it up, because I was like, surely not. This is too good to be true. Sorry, this film is too good to be bad, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. But absolutely bad from good.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, we'll get all the memes. If you want to keep up to date with us, look at all the funny posts we do.
You know
Instagram,
what to do.
TikTok, at Bad Film Good, or one word. If you want to help out the show, you can give us a 5-star review on your chosen podcast platform. It'd be really nice. Maybe you could, I tell you what, keep in theme, review a different show, give it 5 stars and just review a different show. Even though we've told you that it's this show that you're listening to.
How about instead, this is on theme. If you want, run a daycare center, then get all the kids to give you 5-star reviews for us.
Yeah, yeah, but they'll probably get it fucking wrong, won't they? They'll review good film bad.
Oh, yes.
But as always, we'll leave you with an inspirational quote from some shit platform, and then also Image Flip. You can go first with your thing. And make sure you stall so I can get an image for it, because I've got to do.
Okay. Oh, all right. No, mine's just a nice, you know, you've got a kind of golden sky in the background, silhouetting two figures who are embracing a very, or at least about to be embracing a very passionate kiss. You know, you've got the detail in the hair, kind of very nicely silhouetted there. They're just about to kiss each other. And in the center of the screen, it says, "A fool is the pupil who disguises his breasts." So don't be a fool.
Get your bloody tits out.
I'm talking to the men, not to the women. All right? Not to the women. Talking to the men. All right? Don't be a fool. Get your man titties out.
Good, yeah.
Oh no, it's one of Aiden's alter egos.
Yeah, white middle-aged man. Look. Yeah, I feel like what's happened is Inspirabot was like, whatever. I'll just be dumb. Then it heard me slag it off, and then it was like, what I'll do is I'll hack Image Flip and make it really shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right, Aiden. You can crawl on back to me anytime you like. Inspirobot will welcome you with open arms.
I've got a really good one here.
You know what? I'm even going to unbookmark image flip from my bookmark.
What?
That was all I needed. That was the nail. I'll stand by Inspirobot.
All right. Okay, there we go. Finally. I mean, I had this one all along. It was just a bit.
This took me what? Maybe 5 clicks?
No. This is the expanding mind meme.
Yeah.
And the first one is Take Me Home. And then the next one is To the Place.
Ooh.
Then the next one is I Belong.
Oh, for God's sake.
And then the last one is Where's Vagina?
Stupid. That's just stupid. And then the final one is Inspirobox. That's the biggest brain of them all.
No, it's the it's the fucking what is it? Is it the Winnie the Pooh one? Where you get like the normal Winnie the Pooh and then there's
the sophisticated one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The sophisticated one is the
is Inspirobot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
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 It just
on is. This instance, but I'm not giving up.
Okay, all right. I'll take in this war of attrition, I'll take any wins I can get.
I'd say it's 2-1.
Where's the 2 from? I'd 2 say it's 1-0.
All right. Oh, yeah, all right. We'll start from now. It's 1-0 to 1-0 to fuck okay. it. Right.
All right.
1-0 to Inspirobot.
We've just started the AI wars.
AI wars. There we go.
Yeah.
Inspirobot 1. Image flip 0.
Oof. All right. The game is on. The game is afoot.
The game is afoot, baby. All right. But yeah. What? Have we done on 3? Yeah. All right. But yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, bye. Bye.